aflevering van Groen met Maarten Goed.
En Femke Cornelissen.
Ja, we hebben vandaag Ilse Parra gesproken. En dat was een leuke aflevering. Ja, jullie zo gaan zien.
Mexicaanse die bij Microsoft in de security divisie werkt. En echt wel een mooi levensverhaal heeft.
Ja, precies. Onder andere hoe ze naar Nederland is verhuisd. Wat ze aan ervaring heeft meegenomen om te starten in Nederland met haar baan. Ja, een hoop mooie dingen die ze vertelt.
Ja, ja en ook wel echt een belangrijke speler om meer diversiteit in het vakgebied van IT te krijgen. En specifiek in dit geval Microsoft Security.
Ja.
Maar ik was verbaasd met haar gedrevenheid en hoe ze dingen voor elkaar krijgt en hoe ze uiteindelijk dus bij die baan gekomen is.
Ja.
Ja, en wat er dan natuurlijk ook opviel aan hoe het anders is in Nederland.
Ja, ja, precies. En ook hoe zij zelf echt wel een rolmodel is voor veel vrouwen. Ze gaat zeg maar de winkels gerond om mensen aan te spreken en enthousiast te maken voor de cybersecurity wereld. Ik vind dat wel bijzonder en heel erg goed. Ja.
Ja, volgens mij een heel leuk interview geworden met leuke highlights en spannende inzichten. Dus laten we gaan luisteren naar Ilse.
Yes. Thank you for taking the time to be here in our studio, Ilse. I believe your title at Microsoft is Microsoft Modern Work Channel Sales Manager. Is that true?
Yeah, well, we actually are reshaping the name because I went so deep into security. It became my passion at Microsoft. Then I started to move myself more into security and leave modern workplace on the side. So now it is Security Channel Sales Manager. But I haven't updated my LinkedIn or my email. I still have to do it.
And can you tell a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you are doing?
Well, I'm Ilse Parra. I'm Mexican. I live in the Netherlands since 4 or 5 years, somewhere like that. I don't have the right dates because I went through COVID here in the Netherlands. So I was for a year and a half in the house. I moved here because I met a Dutch man in Mexico. He said to me, I can only have a beer for an hour and then tomorrow I fly to Amsterdam. And then this is how I ended up here. Nowadays we have a little boy. I went through my pregnancy also and my maternity leave during COVID. My mom, she has a company. She founded a company of a local ERP brand in Mexico called Contpac E. So she's also a partner. Okay. And she started her company when I was maybe 14 or 15 years old. And I had to go to a lot of meetings and a lot of events and a lot of stuff. And that's how I became acquainted with the partner environment, with the IT, with the cloud and all of that. And I think that that's why I am now at Microsoft, because of my background moving here and how I grew up.
Great.
Cool. Well, hasn't that been a shock or quite a difference coming from Mexico into here, yeah, Holland?
It is a lot. It is. The thing is, it's not like moving from France to the Netherlands.
No.
It's a different continent. The timing is so difficult that I have a very small window to communicate with my family or my friends. And just leaving your country behind and moving and starting a life in a place where at the beginning, I felt like I never belonged and I will never belong. So I have an identity. My therapist actually called it identity crisis because the Ilse from Mexico, she was single. She was working. She was into herself, living in her apartment. And then I moved in here and then I became a mom. I had a partner. I had to build my career from zero in the Netherlands. So I was struggling a little bit with who was I and who am I nowadays and what is Ilse? Who am I now that I'm in Ilse in the Netherlands? And it took me a while to understand that I am a Latina woman living in the Netherlands. I have different ways of seeing the world and I have also learned so much from the Dutch culture that I have also reshaped my personality. So now I'm like a hybrid. I'm a Mexican woman, but when I go to Mexico, I see things like a Dutch person sometimes. And when I'm here, I also see things like a Mexican woman. So I think I just learned to embrace myself, my personality, who I am, and that I am different, and which qualities do I have, and which things I am still learning and figuring out.
You say you start from zero here. How did that come, and how did you start in the Netherlands with your work and your career?
Well, that was a bit of an interesting period, because I remember I came to the Netherlands. I used to work at Canon as a key account manager on the printing and the press side, and also a little bit into the digitalization and keeping everything safe on the printer. I won an award back in Canon for a project. And this award put me like a little bit on the map with the directors and with the US, and they sent me a recommendation here to Europe. But when I got here, it was a bit of a surprise that I went through the hiring process and I always got an email of like, you were not selected, even for the same role that I used to have before. Then I went to try to different companies, different printing companies, you know, same role, competitors, and it was the same. And then a year passed by, and I think that I applied for 100 roles. Wow. I don't know. I remember people telling me, you will get a role once you have a job. I was like, but I don't want to have a job, to jump in another job and then to just quit with that company. So I was trying and I was aiming for the role that I wanted. And a little bit of a blocker over there was the language, that I didn't spoke Dutch in that, well, still not a lot. But then I went to the school intensive to try to learn Dutch in a year, but that's a little bit not realistic. So I knew that was not going to happen. And in the middle of the struggle and not having anything to do for a year, then I decided, you know, I'm just going to try anything. I need to do anything to integrate myself to the country. So I went to work for 2 months. I didn't pass the probational period on a clothing shop. I was, you know, like in the call it in here in the past cameras, mm-hmm. or in the fitting rooms, giving to the women what they want to them, advising them, how do they look, and this looks nice, I have this blouse that maybe fits you. And then I used to do that maybe in the mornings or in the nights, and to combine it with a strop waffle shop. So I actually know how to make strop waffles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I will work in the morning in the clothing shop, and then in the night in the strop waffle shop. And then on the weekends, I did that for 3-4 months. And then at one point I was in the strop waffle shop and someone called me to offer me a job. I remember that I started with, do you need me to speak Dutch? Because I don't. So if it's the role in Dutch, we can finish the call here. After 100 calls, I was already cutting very, very into the point. No, and they said, no, it is actually a job in English. And I was like, okay, for which company? And when they said Microsoft, then I was like, okay, I need to take this call. And I went into the meeting. It was first for a technical role. They got interested on my profile because of my experience with partners before. Mm-hmm. I also worked with a partner in Mexico. And then I also had some certifications, very old ones. And then when I came to the role, it was very technical. So I didn't get selected. And I remember that I said to the guy that he was filling in the positions for Microsoft, I said to him, you know, you will get me a job at Microsoft. You will get me a job. Remember me. We're still going to be in contact, and let's see what happens after. And then 2 weeks after, they called me for a territory channel manager support, a role, supporting the TCMs in that time. And I got the role in 2 interviews. Half an hour later, they called me to tell me that I was selected, and that's how nice. I started.
Oh, wow. That's a wonderful story. Yeah. But it also highlights, I guess, a bit about your determination to embed yourself in the country, but also to jumpstart your career, because working those days in a clothing shop, at the stropwafel shop, and be very deterministic about getting into IT at Microsoft. Has this always been your upbringing, to be so focused and ambitious?
Yeah, well, my dad, he's from the army. And he's a very smart man and very resourceful. And my mom, she is also very determined to get everything that she wanted. She founded her company, I remember, in the table of the house, in the dining table, with a laptop. And then the company grew. And then the company was one floor of the house, and we had the house in the upper floor because she was, I still need to be around. My sister was very young, very small, and I was in the adolescence. And then I think that those are where my examples of getting how I am. And I think that Mexico also makes you like this. When you come from a country where you have to fight for the resources, you have to fight for education, you have to fight for the role, you have to, everything over there, I think that it shapes you in this way. Yeah.
Cool. And you said you worked at Canon before and now at Microsoft. Have you always been in IT, apart from the two side gigs that you just told about? Have you always been in IT in general?
Yes and no. I went through logistics. Then from logistics, I went to work with a partner, and then I left logistics to IT. I felt that was a natural step for me because of the background of the company of my mom. And then from there, I moved into the printing a little bit, digitalization, IT was like almost there. So it is on my personality and on the way that I grew up. But I think that I also tasted a little bit different industries. But I think my heart, it is in here. I could have continued with logistics. Definitely, maybe I would still be working at that company. Or I could have went somewhere else. I almost ended up also as a recruiter here in the Netherlands. But then I think that I followed, at the end, my heart on IT.
And has it been that your mom, who founded the company, like you said, very much ERP focused, has that made a big impact in your life, like having her as that role model for you to end up where you are today?
Yes, of course, because starting up a company and then it up with 15, 20 employees as a woman in Mexico is not something very common. And also in the IT world, well, in Mexico, it is mainly men. So of course I always saw my mom around a lot of men and having meetings and calls and customers, and I need to hire someone else and the company needs to grow. So that has gave me a lot of influence into it, into IT. But I think that I also like a lot what we do nowadays in IT with the companies, providing the resources, providing innovation, moving on into now with security at Microsoft. I think I had my dream that was to actually one day be in the place where technology is born. And I think that happens a lot in Microsoft also. So I'm very happy that I ended up on my dream job.
I think you're now also a role model for a lot of other women who wanted to start maybe in IT. I think also you going to shops and talk with women and help them to get a start in cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell a bit about that program you started and why it's important to do something like that?
First, it was, I came to Microsoft and there were a lot of women. No, I have a lot of women that I work with. Actually, a funny fact is that half of my team are Latinas and are women. Almost. Oh. I have other two peers. One is from Brazil and another one is Colombian. And our team is 50-50. And then you also see managers in the management. You see women and everywhere. You see women, engineers, any type of role at Microsoft. And then when I started to go outside to the partners, I started to find myself the only woman in the meetings. And then I started to feel like, hey, what is going on in here with women? And if I combine that with coming to the Netherlands to start from zero and not having a network or not having someone to grab me a hand, to pull me into the industry in that year, maybe what could have I done in that year? You know, what have I done in 3 years? If you give me 4 years, maybe I will be, my knowledge and my skills will be much higher. So combining those two factors and then thinking of providing a network and designing a program for women in cybersecurity where we can give that hand to someone, where we can show the path and say, this is not a male industry. This is also women industry. I have heard comments of, yeah, but cybersecurity is very technical, it's very difficult. And the women, they go a little bit more for the caring side. I still question that a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't think that necessarily, we don't have to, I mean, I like to do the good, but I don't have to care about entire society just because of the fact that I am a woman. But if you think about cybersecurity, you're actually doing something for the society. You're actually protecting someone's company from not getting hacked, because what are they going to pay for it? Will they have the money to cover it, or will they have to let go their employees to cover a ransomware? And what about the family that is behind there? So I do find a lot of feminine, you know, into cybersecurity. And that's what I thought, you know, let's just create a program where we start with the explaining cybersecurity from the beginning. Even what is IT? What is a network? What is a firewall? What is a database? You know, what is privacy? From the beginning until the SE900, which is a certification of Microsoft, where we will try to get some of them certified. Why? Because that's also something where partners look at before they give you a role. Hey, do you have a certification? And I think that can open also a door, yeah, and also land some commitment to really invest and skill themselves and to go and to do an exam and take the time to finish it. And then we combine it with some she/her mentoring, motivational speakers and workshops. Also, we will have a workshop about how to pursue your dreams in your career. And we are also planning a graduation ceremony, where even the police of the Netherlands is going to come and some of our partners to give an applause to all those women that they finish the program.
This is just a wonderful initiative, and I've read about it online, and I think this is something free for those who want to participate.
It's free. Of course, the certification of the SE900 might have a cost of $100. We are still trying to see, okay, how can we tackle that part so then we can make it completely free. But there is no cost involved in any of the sessions. The sessions can be also on Teams or on Microsoft Office or on our partner's office. So the program is also designed for some partners to jump in and provide the sessions. In this case, for example, Portel is being part of the program, of course. So the women will have the opportunity to come to Portel and to have their session here. And it is very intentional, because then you can start creating your network also. Now you can start seeing the companies, like, getting in touch with other people. Maybe it's just to get into the place and the lunch or the coffee sometimes.
Yeah, nice. So with Microsoft Security, I think you're in an area where there's a lot of growth. And if you put it negatively, there's a lot of growth in hackers that target even more and more companies nowadays. But there's also growth in the fact that there's more solutions, more people trying to up their defenses. There's all sorts of regulation coming online for companies to have that. Is the dynamic in the area where you work in the Microsoft Security branch different from the workplace section you've been in, and even like with Canon and other previous employers? How is the dynamic and the hustle and the bustle of the Microsoft Security world?
I like a lot the mindset of the people in Microsoft. We are very much open to change, because technology changes so fast that we go through massive changes all the time. Mm. And your mindset has to be set up for that one. Also, the technology gets updated, and it comes a lot because of the feedback of the customers or the needs of the market or the situation, geopolitical situation or the society's situation and the customers. So that really allows us to change the way that we approach sometimes the business and to integrate everything and try to tackle all the challenges that are outside in the world, you know, with different ethical hackers or political hackers, or, you know, or cyber criminals, you know. more than hackers. How do we manage, and what is the role of Microsoft and our solutions, and what is also the role of our partners? Something that I like a lot in Microsoft is our partners are part of Microsoft, and we work a lot closely, very, very close to each other. I know my partners know who is Ilse, and my partners know so many other colleagues from Microsoft. We're always having these discussions of how to empower the solutions of our partners and how to empower the customer together. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, something that I really like a lot from Microsoft and from working here. We are not afraid to say, this is not working. It's more about the growing mindset and how do we improve things. And if this is working, then how do we reproduce it?
And it seems to be a real priority as well, if you see how much Microsoft has grown over the past 5 or even more years, not only with solutions that you can now buy from Microsoft, but making a proper effort to stop the hackers, whether it's at state level, working with government agencies, whether it's investing in research or all of the development centers around the world, or like yourself in a role touching customers and partners. It seems to be a real priority for Microsoft to do this right.
Yeah. I think that that's the only way that we can move forward and that we can protect the privacy of the citizens, our data. I question myself a lot, which data do we have there that we are exposing as a customer? If you go to a platform, what are you putting in there? And I think that that's indeed the only way that we can do something about it. We do have a collaboration indeed with the government, with the police, just to understand what is going on and where should we go for. We also have a lot of gerentes, sometimes that we support over there with the security solutions, and from also so many other verticals. And we have now coming some directives like the NIS 2.0, where we are trying to support the customers and the partners to be ready for this new directive that is setting the baseline on cybersecurity. And I do expect that with this, we can really embed security into every business.
Yeah. So in your day job, you do a lot with partners. You're trying to show the value of the Microsoft solutions. What is the... Looking at your week, what is the most fun thing that you're doing? What is the thing you get the most energy out of? Mm-hmm. Like there'll probably be a lot of things that you need to do, or there's sales targets, and there's stuff that probably you need to do. Or but are there things where you see like that's what I'm really looking forward to in a week or in a month or something that energizes you?
Customer events, I like them a lot. I like to see the partners shining, sharing awareness. I like a lot the dynamic on the events with the discussions where the customers, they get amazed by new things that maybe they were not seeing on security or vulnerabilities. And for me to think that in a customer event, it's not only about, of course, the targets and the pipeline and all of that, but the customers that they leave really realizing the risks that they have if they don't implement security, and thinking this customer is going to increase their and to improve their better their posture on security. That I find that it makes me feel happy to think like, maybe tomorrow they will be prepared and they won't be in a risk because of the amazing job that our partners are doing to land the awareness. That's something that I like a lot. And of course, now the Women for Cyber program, that's also giving me a lot of energy. Now we are in the middle of, you know, landing our new strategy and the closing of the year and things coming in and preparing and doing a lot of research. And sometimes can be quite overwhelming. And then I think that for me, this program and the customer events are definitely the ones that are giving me the energy.
Okay.
I saw something like a prize that you won. What was that?
Award champions. Well, it was because of the NIS 2.0 directive. We drew awareness to the customer with the events.
Oh,
so that is indeed the... It's funny that you mention it because it is Tangled, no?
Yeah.
Something that I really like to do, which is driving customer awareness and driving security solutions with the customers together with our partners. And the NIS 2.0, it really opened up that discussion and that attention from so many customers to come to Microsoft, to hear from Microsoft and from our partners about this directive. And then we had the awareness side on it, and now the customers. It was very nice to see how many customers, they increased their security after this event, because we did an analysis after, and it was a very nice impact.
Real cool.
And so, reflecting back as a Mexican woman in Holland, coming to Microsoft, or maybe in general in the Netherlands, are there anything that surprised you, or that you looked at anything like, oh, this is weird, or like with that in Microsoft or outside? And I'm not talking lunch, like broodje kaas or milk, but like what were general observations that really genuinely surprised you, or were different?
I'm not saying it's perfect, and I'm not saying that all the women are fully empowered or have all the rights, you know, equal, but you're much further than us in Mexico. Just the fact that I could walk on the street without a man chasing me or saying things to me, or that I would come to the office and everybody would be listening, regardless of your gender or your background. I think that I love it. I like it a lot, because in a positive way, it has impacted my career. It's not a coincidence that I have grown so much in the Netherlands in comparison to how much time it took me to grow in Mexico. It took me maybe 8 years in Mexico to become a key account manager. And in Microsoft, I have had three different roles already. I have grown in 3 years into three different roles. Opportunities are there for women. And I think that in here, you're just free to do whatever you want. You can be a mom and work, and no one will question you. Hopefully, I hope, no one will question you, are you a good mom? You can just get out on the streets with your hair without doing. You don't have the pressure to always look pretty or to always have this image of the perfect woman to the society. You can just be yourself, and you can get out however you feel. And that's something that I appreciate a lot, because sometimes I like to dress a lot very nice, and sometimes I like to just go almost in pajamas to drop my kid to daycare, and no one cares. So for me, that pressure taken out of the shoulders of women to be themselves, to behave and to speak their minds and to say whatever they want is something very, very nice. I and my family, when they come to visit me to the house, sometimes they question a lot how I say things to my husband, because I say things straightforward, and he says things straightforward also. And my mama, she was like, oh, Ilse, maybe, you know, treat him very nice. I'm like, I'm treating him nice. I'm just telling him what I don't like and what I like and what we are supposed to do as a team. And he is taking it okay. So that's what I like about the society in here.
Cool.
So nice. We have an envelope, and you can pick one, and it's a question we don't prepare before, so you can read it if you...
Okay, let's see.
Read it loud.
Yeah, okay. Which CEO would you pick if you had to choose? Satya, Steve, or Bill? And why?
One of the three former Microsoft CEOs. Like, would it be Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, or Satya Nadella?
I think, of course, it's easier for me to go for Satya, because he is now our CEO. What I like a lot about him, it was that he saw the opportunity in Azure. I remember in 2015, I was working with a partner, and we were talking about Azure, and there was a device that there has to be built to start to explain Azure. It was a store symbol, the name, I don't remember, yeah. And then we had to come with this machine to explain Azure sometimes, because how do you explain a solution or moving from a server into the cloud, something that they don't see, something that they don't touch? And I think that Satya has been very clever into seeing the opportunities in the market, the innovation that it brings, how it empowers the customers, the research, the society, and all the positive aspects that it can have. And now, of course, he's betting a lot into AI. So I'm really interested to see how AI is now going to change the game. How are we going to evolve? And I was thinking, I think if he sees the potential and if he's really driving it and putting it at the core of Microsoft, I really want to see where can we get then with the AI, and how if a mind can do something, now the mind and the computer together empowered. I think that's something amazing. So I take that from Satya, and that's why I choose him.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. And see you next time.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.